We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We'll start with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just a quick reminder for everybody in the audience, if you didn't sign in, can you please sign in sometime tonight before you leave? So we just have all the names and addresses and stuff. Thank you. The agenda tonight, we need to add J1 engineers report, and then we'll add L1 closed session for litigation, and we'll move that after the roundtable discussion. Is there anything else for the agenda? Now I take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve the agenda with changes.
Thank you, Ryan. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Consent agenda, is there any item on there? If not, I would take a motion to approve.
Make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Visitors to the council, is there, I saw no cards. You saw none, Linda? Okay. So, mayor's report, I have nothing under that for tonight. Public forum, we have none. Public hearing. Committee reports, planning commission, SEMCAC request for zoning text amendment.
All right, so I'll just talk about this one for a minute here. So this request does come from SEMCAC, an organization that is very active here in Casson and throughout the region. Basically, their request is to, or their proposal rather, is to purchase a property here in Casson at 202 Fifth Street Southeast and consolidate many of their services into that one location. So it would include a food shelf, a senior center, outreach center, and they'd also like to have their Head Start program located there as well. So when staff reviewed the request, it was determined that the principal use, which would be a social services, welfare, charity, that sort of thing, that is allowed as a principal use within the I-1 Business Park Light Industrial Zoning District. However, staff felt that the Head Start program, which could be considered a type of childcare, does not fall under that same sort of social assistance, welfare, charitable services, principal use, just simply because it's already regulated as a separate use throughout the zoning code. And so for that reason, it would operate more as a accessory use. The issue being that childcare as an accessory use isn't allowed under the current zoning code. And so there comes the request for a text amendment that SEMCAC has presented. So it did go to Planning Commission because it requires a public hearing anytime we change the zoning code. A few members from SEMCAC were present at the meeting and did present during the public hearing, including Jennifer Hingle, the executive director of SEMCAC, who's also here at this meeting tonight and available for questions if needed. A couple of other folks spoke during the meeting. One who was not at the meeting but shared comments with me previously had concerns over what does adding a childcare do as far as any sort of buffering requirements, for example, with cannabis or tobacco or adult use. Adult uses, there's, you know, certain setbacks that are required. However, it's really pretty limited, the sort of things that could be affected by childcare. And so, in light of that, staff did propose having a conditional use permit process going in place for accessory use childcare facilities. It's similar to the CUP process that already exists for principal use childcare facilities that others have applied for in Casson previously. So it is consistent with that, but it does allow the city to have more of a site-specific review and approval that I think would be appropriate for this sort of situation. So Tonight is just the text amendment. You'll see the draft ordinance in the packet for this evening, just a pretty simple amendment to the accessory uses table that shows the various zoning districts where accessory child care facilities would be allowed with a CUP. So it would be the RC, C1, C2, C3, and I1 zoning districts. And then going forward, SEMCAC would have to also get approved for that conditional use permit going forward. So that would allow us to review their concept for the site and making sure that all the city requirements are in place, including drop-off and loading areas and the required outdoor play area for the youth. So that's what I've got. If there's any questions from the board.
Was the cannabis, we had an applicant a while ago about looking to open one. Was that in that area as well?
It was the same location.
Okay, that's what I thought. So did they withdraw their request or? They did, okay.
Yes, it went into last.
Okay.
Any other discussion from planning and zoning? Paul, Sheldon? I mean, is there anything?
I mean, as Ian said, the staff presented a proposal and we kind of discussed both sides of it and decided that, you know, where Ian had it laid out was probably the best course of action. So I think we were all in agreement that it's a good thing to be able to have more opportunities for childcare, and the particular use case in this instance, which will still require a CUP once we do this amendment, is probably one that we would all support.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions?
You said probably would support?
Well, we weren't actually discussing whether or not that particular CUP, right? We were just discussing, like, how is this affecting the whole town?
Okay.
Right? So we were trying to just stay on topic, but I'm making the opinion that most of the people on the committee would have supported or would support that CUP when it shows up.
So it meets the green space requirements and the other things that have been at issue in the past as far as we know, or do we not know that yet? Or would that be something that would wait?
That's not part of this. Only the text amendment. That would come with the CUP.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the plan review.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I had a feeling I was jumping the gun. I was just trying to get as many facts as I can get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is more about opening the door.
So then they can apply.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay.
We have no more questions. I guess I would entertain them. Motion to approve the ordinance change.
I will make a motion to approve. Okay.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, and we have one abstain. So, okay. Thank you. No old business, new business. Administrator's report, the finance report. You got anything on that? Okay. And the rest, as you can see in there, is just a little bit about some more data center information that he put in there, and we got the People's Service Territory acquisition. He's working on that. So hopefully we can get that approved. It looks like maybe by March. So we can move forward with that. As you all know, Tim is out on leave due to the birth of their child, which was Sunday night. So he's planning on being out for, I think, up to eight weeks.
Probably by the end of April. He'll
yeah.
Be back.
So.
Okay.
So. All right. With that, I guess we'll move next to engineer's report.
All right. Well, thank you, Mayor and Council. Before we jump into the council packet, just a quick background on what we're talking about tonight. During our comprehensive planning process, we had some public input on our trail system specifically, a lack that we had in this area, from the Sunset Trail along the Dump Road or Dodge County 21, to our Lions Park area. We see a lot of people walking on the trail and then walking on the shoulder of the road, so the discussion, that we had at a staff level, we heard that Dodge County is gonna be redoing, the striping on West Veterans Memorial, or CASA 34, was do we provide something to connect those, that gap in our trail system? We made a lot of investments, but this has really been a gap that we see, you know, a lot of people walking on that road to ultimately use it as a trail or a bike lane. So, Dodge County has a project where they're gonna be, working on Veterans Memorial Parkway, the concrete section. So the discussion there is once they grind that road down and start restriping, do we wanna look at anything different? So they were agreeable to this, staff kinda worked it up with them. We kinda brought it to you as a council. I think the consensus in the council was to, ultimately convert the southbound or the west lane on 8th Avenue, from parking to, a bike lane, 10-foot just striped on the roadway. We're not looking at, you know, moving any curb and gutters, so it's a low-cost option, just kinda see how this works and provide that connection from the two trail systems, 'cause again, it is used, so. That was the background, there was some previous council discussion that we took that, and then ultimately kinda wrapped up, which, we have before us tonight, that'll kinda wrap up kinda what we move forward with the construction. So I'll jump into what's in your packet, and that is the construction plan. So the first sheet there, I'll just show a cross-section that's looking northbound, which is ultimately showing the bike lane from the southbound lane there, and I don't know how many, we have, so we have two Porsches, on the through lanes and a Porsche in the parking lane, so I don't know how often we see that, but, essentially we have driving lane, and then parking only on the east side or the northbound lane there, with the idea that there's minimal amount of parking utilized there. And I'll jump to the next sheet, which starts on the aerials there. And I'll start in the upper right-hand corner, that's the north end of the project, so that's 8th Avenue or 5th Street in the southern terminus of the Sunset Trail. And again, essentially striping a 10-foot lane, in the southbound lane, marking it no parking. The county's looking at, if we move forward, having no parkings along that south side, they're gonna install them, and then we would essentially stripe that, as a bike lane southbound. We do have the, biking lane, only we don't show it as like a trail as we traditionally would, because it is gonna be adjacent to the traveling public and there's no vertical element, so it kinda limits on what we can show there. So we do show within the driving lane, it's called the Sharrow, that bike with the two arrows in the northbound lane. That's just signifying if you're northbound, you should be, following, riding essentially with those cars along the roadway. So ultimately that is, you know, one-way traffic. Now do pedestrians use it, as a two-way? Well, they use it now today, so, potentially they could use it as, walking along the shoulder and walking in that bike lane, but it would be striped as such. So, that's starting on the north end. You know, if the discussion is parking, you'll notice here, if you kinda scroll through the pages there, from 5th down to Main Street, there's literally two cars parking, in that parking area, and a minimal amount of parking on the other side of the road, so that parking on the other side of the road would still be available to them. So I think that was, what kinda the council consensus was, based on the discussion. So on the second sheet there, I think we're at Main Street. We would continue to the south, by CHS over the railroad tracks, and then ultimately kinda use the entrance to the water tower at CHS along the railroad tracks to kinda enter in. If you keep scrolling there, Ian, one more sheet. It would end, and then we would, one more sheet, then we would kinda slip back into that driveway to the water tower there, just south of the railroad tracks there, and then get on that trail system. And then we'd kinda end our project there, we'd continue just regular striping, continuing ultimately to the roundabout to kinda facilitate the county, and the county's, agreed to pay for their striping that they put on there and any other striping that we'd add for our, you know, requested pedestrian or bike facilities that they would send us a bill, but obviously a minimal investment compared to putting something and moving curb in and put a full-size trail in there. So, I personally, I know we haven't talked to council about this, if this is successful, we may have future conversations about maybe putting a curb in there and having what they call like a cycle track and more protected trail system. I think it's something that we're gonna look at. Northfield's implemented some and it's gone well. It's kinda hard to retrofit areas, but you can do some stuff with, you know, minimal investment, not to this level, but, a little more investment, I'll say, but provide maybe a better product. But I kinda wanna see how it goes first, and then we'll go from there. So, that's what we have plans in front of you. One little nuancy thing and why we have a resolution in front of you tonight, is our rules that we work with. We work in municipal state aid, we get money from the state, as a city, over 5,000. County, very similar, has county state aid rules, that we both kinda have to follow. So whenever you reduce parking along the kind of county state aid routes, which we're proposing to do, The city has to have a resolution to ultimately acknowledge that we are having parking restrictions along that corridor. I think it may be needed for your ordinances too, so the chief can enforce that. So that's what you have in front of you. I'll pause there, answer any questions, and ask for your consideration of the resolution to ultimately have parking restrictions on 8th Avenue from 5th Street to 2nd Street to accommodate that bike lane.
And there's some current no parking areas along that street currently, right, on the west side?
Yeah, there is on the west side, by the entrances to the townhomes there. Was it Westfield Court, Holly Lane? How it got there, I didn't really know, but I didn't really pursue it because it just seemed like it was there and it was odd, and I just kind of punted on it, and we just kind of moved on. So we're going to make it all, no parking was a non-issue. But yeah, I don't know if that's been enforced or if people are actually not parking there. I'm not sure why it's there, other than somebody viewed it as kind of a sight triangle away from the intersections. I don't know.
I guess I've never seen any there when we've walked it.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think ultimately, what's council discussion or decision? Do we convert parking into a bike lane? People walk it now, we're looking at, you know, favoring the bike lane or the pedestrian movements more than the parking. And as you can see here, and we looked at other aerials, it's not utilized for parking very much. You could get some complaints about the property owners having to go to the other side of the road, but that's the trade-off, right? We're always balancing them out. I'd love to go back and spend $1 million and move the curb line in and have a trail off the roadway, but that's probably not in the cards. It's relatively new roadway, so we're kind of retrofitting it, and I think it works, and I think it's a good project, so.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the reasons we chose the west side was because the driveways on the west were also longer, might be able to hold more vehicles, so maybe they utilize the street less. Not that they wouldn't be using it now, but was that part of our conversation as well?
Yeah, so essentially, the first few houses there from 5th down to, call it, 6th, are actually all the way down to, like, 2nd there. You know, they got some longer driveways, so presumably, they'd be able to pull into their driveways more than some of the other houses on the other side of the road. Then you also have a park in your libraries along the east side of the road too. So, you know, if there's a ball game there, presumably, people would want to park along the ball field there.
Have we made people that live along this area aware of this change?
Now, we talked about it. If we move forward tonight, you know, we can let them know, send them a letter, and see if they have any questions. You know, even send them the plans. Happy to do that, and we can post them. It's probably about the time we get our annual kind of, when we start construction every week, we kind of post something on the city website of all the projects planned, and we still have some that are outstanding, so happy to do that. We got a pretty good list right now, or a good description of them, so we can add that on there, and then send them letters and let them know too.
Do we see any negatives to this plan at all?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's a low-cost option to provide more biking, pedestrian-friendly corridor that sees it. The negatives would be the parking discussion, but I think the positives of that, the use that we see outweighs the, you know, negatives of the parking. Again, you can see the number that's parking there. It's very minimal. You know, the apartment at Main Street is probably the most parked, based when we go back and look at old aerials in different times. But they're also at an intersection there, so they have a crosswalk that they can cross at the intersection of Main Street if they were forced to park on the other side of the road.
They're parking in the rear too.
They do, yeah, fair amount. So I don't know who's parking there, if it's just their guest, or if they're the residents that are choosing to park there as opposed to parking there. I don't know. I didn't really pursue it, because, again, it doesn't seem like it's that big of an issue. So I think that's the advantage, disadvantage, right? We only have, right-of-way's only so big, and we're dealing with what we have to deal with, and I think that's the discussion of converting parking to a bike lane and make it more pedestrian and bicycler-friendly.
Any more questions for Brendan? Not? Oh.
So the trail that's already along there, do we incorporate that at all into any of that, or you're just going to utilize the entire, the lane portion of that?
So we'll have the bike lane essentially just south of the rail tracks where the CHS tower is there, or the water in CHS there, or the rail tracks, or by the Vale subdivision that we put in. So from there, the bikers would use our driveway and get back up on the trail.
Okay, right there.
Get them up off, yep, back up off.
It's outlined right there.
Off the roadway. I mean, any trail situation, ideally, we would get any bikers off the roadway, especially young bikers, walkers. The Lance Armstrongs of the world, they're going to use the road anyway, because they're comfortable on the road. So the idea here is that our users that don't want to be on the road or prefer not to be on the road will get back up on the trail and use the trail systems. That's why we didn't continue striping it kind of along the corridor. We did look at that, but we just figured with the parking that may be at the park or other events, that it wasn't probably what we wanted to do there, so. I think our comp planning process, this was the most desired trail network, if I remember right. We kind of had a heat map of where people want in trails, so I think we're doing the right thing.
Of all the options you showed, this was the one I thought was the best and most efficient for cost.
We have no more questions? I guess I would entertain a motion to approve the resolution.
Make the motion to approve the resolution.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you, Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, thank you.
All right, there's no personnel correspondence. Is there any questions on that? That, we can go to our roundtable discussion. That's merely just discussion, no decisions be made. I know we had asked to put it on there, it's a little bit to talk about the gambling ordinance.
Yeah,
I can, if you don't mind, I'll just start out here first. Just, I talked to the administrator a little bit, and I was talking to Linda, and so far we've not received any reports yet, but, I mean, the fire relief has filled theirs out.
I did get their reports today.
Today, so we got that.
I sent a note to all of the gambling associations today, asking for everything by the end of February.
I was talking to Tim just a little bit today, and after the last meeting, and I kind of agree with him until we can start seeing some of these reports and some of the, where we're going, it's hard to make a decision. We're not, as he said, we can look, but we need more paperwork, more trail to make more informed decision. If the council determines to change it a few months down, because that's, you know, it's one of those fluid we can do, he even is willing, if we change to the lower different number, to offer back a refund if we, you know, if we get the money now. It goes into a separate account, it stays there, and it's only for certain things. And then if we determine that the reports are coming in favorable, we know more what we got, then we can, if we change it, then we could reimburse back. So that it goes into a separate fund, and it's earmarked strictly for the certain things that League says we can do, and it sits there until, so it's not like it gets spent anywhere else, it's just sitting there waiting. So if we do change, we can return. So that's kind of, but I think we're going, but, you know, we're more than welcome to, I know you had wanted to discuss more, right?
Yeah. First and foremost, the funds that we do collect, I believe they're for park modulars and park improvements, correct? But we can't directly put it into the park funds. It has to be set aside specific for specific projects. There was some chatter online that it was for the raises that we're not getting next council. Well, that was absurd, to say the least. I did reach out to two of the four entities that are currently using the gambling ordinance that we have in place and would have the 10% on their net and their 1% on their gross. That was Dodge County Hockey and the Fishing Club. I didn't get a chance to reach out to the Legion yet or the fire department for the relief. One thought I had, and I did see the sentiment of taking money from programs for kids. I get that piece of it. Even though we are giving it back, the statute says we have to use it for people under 21 to improve the city around us. My thought was, and this is what I'm presenting for everyone to think about, and I do believe we do need to get the data. I don't disagree with that in any way. I think we do. We've for years waited for these organizations to provide us that information, and they have not. Our goal is to keep any charitable funds in the city of Casson. That's the purpose of the statute, and that's why many cities in Minnesota are enacting that statute, so they keep those generated funds within city limits for those cities. My thought was, if an organization can give us their information and prove that X number of dollars is staying within the community, then we wouldn't take 10% of what stays here. It would only be 10% of what leaves. So if an organization wants to donate to the Ramadan House, which I would
be more than happy if they did, right? Not an issue. But if they were to take that money and then donate portions, because they have to donate so much of what they've profited, if they donated outside of city limits, then the 10% would go towards what they've donated then, to outside of city limits, not in city limits. Because if they're donating it here to organizations in town, maybe it's the Veterans Memorial, or it's a program that's going on in town, or a different sport or activity, or they're donating it to any other organization in town, I don't feel we need to take the 10% from them. It seems a little bit like overreach, but I also understand that we haven't seen what they actually are getting or where they're putting it. And we've asked that, and when no one shows it, this is why we're doing this. And so they multiple years of opportunities to adjust.
I like saying that, and that's why I like to say it's fluid yet, because until we get more data, it's hard for us to determine. And then that was, again, the reason we initiated it in the first place is just to...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder what other people's thoughts are on it and where we're at.
When was the first round of reports due to be filed with the city?
They were all due by the end of February.
Okay. So...
So they got a little time.
They have not missed a deadline per
no.
se?
Not yet.
Okay.
No. They got until the end of this week.
Okay. Just checking to make sure I was understanding that.
And we put that money in a hold, but we do take that money from them. Correct. At the end of the month.
Because I know, like, the fire relief was asking a little bit, too, if they had a negative month. So what do we do? And, well, as of now, I would say you have a negative month. Sorry to hear that. You just won't owe nothing because you showed negative, you know. But in the grand scheme over, you know, you could tally it up, and you might have 11 months that are positive and 1 month's negative, so... But you're only paying on if you made money. You don't pay if you lose. That's just... Ultimately, you know, obviously your goal is to come ahead so you can donate back to scholarships or wherever you donate. So.
And the issue is we don't know where...
No.
We don't know that right now because no one has disclosed that.
Not yet. But they have time.
Yeah.
And it's new for everybody, so it's... I mean, the reports were always supposed to be turned in.
Yes.
Now it's just...
They were turned into the state, correct?
They have to turn
have
into
turn
the state.
Into the state.
Yep.
Is there a reason we can't get that data from the state?
I've never tried. I don't know if there's a... proper... Yeah, you know, we're just asking the organizations, as long as they already have the report...
To share it with us.
Yeah. So we know.
I understand that, and I don't disagree with that part of it at all. I have a hard time if someone's going to donate 100% back to town. And I'm on the park board, so I see both aspects of it. We are underfunding our parks, and one of the ways to support that, we just built a nice module in Northeast. This is a mechanism to allow us to do that, but I don't want to take if it's already being put back into the community. It feels awkward. It doesn't feel fair.
And we don't know exactly where it's going yet.
We don't.
So,
that's,
you know,
the challenge
that's,
we're...
And that's
we're
all. That's what we're, you know, we're just working out as it goes. It's going to be a few different changes as we go, and, you know, it's going to be some give and take, and our ultimate goal is to just work with everybody.
And just to reiterate, it's the net. It's not the 10% is net, not gross.
Right.
That's what the statute states.
Yeah, and then did we change it to where 50% could in city limits, and then the other 50% they could? Yes. So instead of, so they only have to spend 50% in city limits. All right. Well, lots more things to think about. We'll kind of be watching it and waiting for reports, and Linda will let us know. And the more we get, the more easier it'll be for us to make informed decisions. But I have a feeling it's going to take a few months before we know where we're at, because you just 1 month ain't going to show you if we show 1 month as a negative, huh? You know.
That's Some organizations maybe only get 1 month of charitable gambling, though. They don't do anything else the rest of the year.
Sure.
It's the only month you're going to get anything.
Sure.
Well, then they would need a permit. The licenses and the people were talking about have licenses to constantly have pole pads.
Constantly.
Yes.
I mean, it's not that they're having a raffle now and a raffle later or something.
Yeah.
It's year-round.
Year-round.
Yep.
It's not purse bingo. It's not the temporary purse bingo licenses.
No.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's some more information to think about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see those numbers in March possibly then?
I will give you a report of what I get every month. It'll probably be like the first March meeting, I'll give you the January report because I'll get everything until the end of February.
Yeah, no, I understand. Thank you.
All right, thank you everybody on that. If there's no more discussion, we will be going into a closed session. So I will ask anybody if they would like to stay. We have another room available. Otherwise, thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. So,
come on, Brandon.
And then after our closed session, we will reopen it. So, thank you everybody. Have a good night. Yeah, just making sure. Have a good night, Brandon.
When they leave, I get to you. Brandon, you're talking about Kenny?
For the closed session, I'll pass it to you before we close it.
Thank you.
Until we close it officially.
So I have some information or update for you in the NORI litigation, but I need to be able to discuss it with you privately, and the need to do that outweighs the public's right to have access to the information. So I recommend that we close this portion of the meeting to discuss the NORI litigation.
So with the attorneys' recommendation, I am going to close this meeting.
Sorry, that's kind of clumsy, but
it's fine.